NBA Gambling Podcast, part of SGPN, is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Guys, all the sports are here. I'm talking all the sports are back. Winning season returns, and it's at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means insane player props, epic bonuses, and the craziest cross-sport wagers. At MyBookie, winning season means watching live sports and betting live sports all season long. The NFL has officially returned, and that means action-packed Sundays and huge cash prizes week in and week out. Get into the action. Use promo code SGP and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best this season for your chance to win big. Use promo code SGP and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie. Okay, and welcome to NBA Gambling Podcast. We are back from a crazy NBA weekend. We thought by today we would be previewing the both conference finals matchups, but we still don't know who the Lakers will take on in the Western Conference. But here is Nugget superfan Zach Broner. I'm sorry, Zach Swiss Bank Broner. How's it going, my man? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, had a good weekend. I'm surprised you remembered that that lame attempt at, you know, personal nickname construction.
Are you kidding? It's already all I thought about all weekend.
Yeah, but I guess so. While, you know, majority of the sports world was tuned into week one NFL, which was awesome. But, you know, the little engine that could, the Denver Nuggets, are 48 minutes away from the conference finals. And I have to say, just before we're going to get into the game specifically, but it seems like this is very quiet, that the Clippers are on the verge of an absolute disaster collapse in this series.
I mean, I've certainly seen a couple headlines today, like, would this be the worst collapse in NBA playoffs history? And the Nuggets were, what, plus 900 at the beginning of the series to win this? Yep. And the, what were the Clippers, like, minus 1,500 or something?
Yeah. So whoever bid on that is absolutely sweating right now. But yeah. Kudos. I mean, the Nuggets were a very, very big dog in the series. I think now that, I don't know, it's been a bit of a quiet series. I think because it was 3-1, it felt like the Clippers were going to wrap it up in game five, but they're handling them in game four. All of a sudden, the Nuggets can't come back to win that game. And then on Sunday, they were in the middle of the 1 o'clock slate, or the 1 o'clock Eastern time slate with the NFL. So not many people were watching that game, but yeah. I guess you do want to get into that game six real quick.
Yeah, let's absolutely get into that game six real quick. I know that I kind of tuned out at halftime thinking, you know, I was had all my fantasy football teams going and I was getting all caught up at the excitement of the NFL. And that game looked like it was over in the first half. I mean, the Clippers were up by, what, 16 going into the half?
Yeah, 16.
And then in the third quarter even got up. At the beginning of the third quarter, extended the lead. I think it was as high as 19 or 20 at one point.
Yeah, it was as high as 19.
As high as 19. And then, man, Jokic led like just the most insane comeback I can remember seeing in quite a while. I actually went back and rewatched the second half today, so my attention was totally focused on it. He just felt unstoppable out of the high post. He was insane. I mean, you're the Jokic super fan. Talk a little bit about what you saw yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he was amazing. Obviously, yeah, I guess the new Jokic, he just loves making above the break threes. Like he was 4 of 6 from three this game. All of them, I thought, were tough attempts. Whether that's off the dribble or using that new shuffle Euro step that he likes to get into a jumper. But he was absolutely unstoppable in this game. A lot of the storyline coming into this game seven is going to be about Harrell versus Zubosh versus going small for the Clippers. And we can talk about that more. But they really had no answer for Jokic. And I think what's so great about him is that he could play 40 minutes too. You know,
yep.
He was defending at a high level. And obviously on offense, I mean, he was just an absolute superstar. But you know, the whole Nuggets offense came to play, especially in the second half. 64 points in the second half, and they were cooking.
Yeah, they certainly got hotter from three than I would necessarily like, count on them getting in the next game. But not just their offense, they were great on defense as well. I mean, they got lucky a few times for sure. I remember like a wide open Kawhi Leonard layup that he just missed. That almost never happens. It just felt like the Nuggets were hustling more instead of like being defeated coming in the second half. Like the Rockets, you know, when they got down to the Lakers, they just gave up. It was nothing. The Nuggets came out like super energized in the second half. The Clippers thought they already had it won, and they just straight up out hustled them.
Yeah, I think there was some of that. The Nuggets definitely, they had a couple possessions where they got like four offensive boards in a row.
Yep.
Torrey Craig, Gary Harris, Jeremy Grant, those guys are flying around. And how about Michael Porter, you know, 13-7 tonight, that he kind of just has been super consistent quietly recently. But, you know, I think definitely what you said should be noted about this game. Nuggets shot 48% from three, although they only made two more total threes than the Clippers. But you're going to see some, you know, they were obviously ridiculously hot in the second half. And then, you know, the Clippers only shot 42% on twos in this game. They shot 41% from the floor, despite shooting 37% from three. Kawhi was 5 of 13 on twos. That just feels like, you know, one of the worst Kawhi games we've seen in a while. He missed a couple layups, like you said, that he does not miss. So I wouldn't be panicking if I was the Clippers about the offense, that their shot quality was decent. But yeah, the Nuggets, you know, they flew around on defense and they definitely made it tough on the Clippers. And for the Clippers, only to score 35 points in the second half. And it's not like the pace was bogged down. This didn't really have a game seven feel to it. The Nuggets were getting out in space. They were completely free. The Clippers kind of just cramped up on their own. So I do think the concerns about, you know, second half, the pressure has gotten to the Clippers two games in a row. The Nuggets are playing completely loose. And they seem comfortable down 16 because they just keep coming at this Clippers team.
I feel like the second half defense has just really struggled when they have Harrell and Lou Williams in there. I mean, those guys are turnstiles. Harrell has been really bad in this series. And that's the thing. Like, Zubac actually played 30 minutes last night and was, I think, what, plus 11 or something like that in his 30 minutes. He played well, and he did a pretty good job of staying in front of Jokic. But even, you know, so when he tired out Zubac, they tried to double team him with smaller guys, and he just shot over them all the time. Like, I don't know what defensive answer they have for him.
Yeah, no, and the other option is they were trying to double him, and what makes Jokic so good is he's so good as a playmaker, he just darts a couple passes around, and then they had an open three for Michael Porter Jr., open three for Torrey Craig, so he makes plays out of that. I think Zubac is getting a little overrated here. I mean, he was plus 11, yeah, but he had 2 points on 1 of 6, and I didn't think he did a particularly good job on Jokic. I think the answer, I mean, if I'm the Clippers, I think I would try going small potentially, and just trying to really fly around, go with Marcus Morris, go with Kawhi. I mean, Jokic still hasn't tested Kawhi in this series. I mean, he's able to switch off him, but it's not like I still like Kawhi in that matchup, obviously, having the pedigree he has in the defensive end. But just a side point, I mean, Rudy Gobert looks really good right now because of how much he bothered Jokic, because literally no one else in the past, like in the bubble and in this series and in the regular season after Jokic kind of got into shape after he struggled early, nobody has had an answer for him except for Rudy Gobert really bothered him. I mean, Jokic is back to himself. He had 7 assists, 14 boards tonight. He wasn't putting up any of that auxiliary stuff with Gobert on him. So, you know, I don't think necessarily taking Harrell out of the rotation completely is the answer. I think you just give him the 10 minutes where Jokic sits.
Yeah, I mean, hey, maybe that's the answer. I know that a lot of a lot of basketball analysts I was reading today was just saying, like, go with your strongest defensive lineup and, don't worry about outscoring. Just, you know, don't worry about Lou Williams and Harrell getting their offense, but just worry about trying to shut down Jokic, make everybody else beat you. I don't know if that's the way. Certainly, I feel like that Coach Malone has just really out-coached Doc Rivers in this one. Certainly, for them to come back from down 3-1 Actually, and they're 5-0 in elimination games in this playoffs, which is insane because they were down 1-3 against Utah as well. And we're just going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors and be right back. I mentioned this up top, but our presenting sponsor is mybookie.ag. Thank you so much for being the presenting sponsor of NBA Gambling Podcast, part of SGPN. Winning season is back at MyBookie, and they're offering a 100% deposit bonus when you use the promo code SGP. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by the leaders in daily fantasy, DraftKings. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes each week. Don't miss out on week 2 action. Enter promo code SGP to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's SGP only at DraftKings. We're also brought to you by BetQL. Want to get an advantage over the sportsbooks with NBA, NHL, college football, MLB, and the NFL back in action? You need to download BetQL, the only app you'll need to make smart bets this season. Head to betql.co and enter promo code SGP20 for 20% off your first subscription. That's betql.co, promo code SGP20. And finally, we're brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in paperhead providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. And now going back to our show.
Like you said, the Clippers, in terms of getting out coached, I mean, they only had 20 assists in this game as compared to 26 for Denver. I thought Denver's offense came much easier. And also, I agree with what you said. I mean, I think at this point, Jokic looks so good. You kind of got to let him get his, make him be a scorer. 7 assists to go along with the 34 points. I mean, that means he had an absolutely killer offensive game. You look at Jamal Murray, was 9 of 13. Gary Harris, 5 of 11. Michael Porter Jr., 4 of 7. Monte Morris, 4 of 7. So everyone else was getting good looks too. So when they have that sort of all-you-can-eat team aspect with Jokic scoring and making plays, they're going to have a good offense. I mean, they're that good. So I think you got to look at Jokic right now as an absolute just, we'll let him score, but we got to take away everything else this team has.
For a baseline of how much better he is playing in this postseason than even his career, like his career stats, like he's shooting the three so much better. His career 3-point percentage is at 34%. He's shooting over 46% in this postseason. He averages in his career 17 points per game. He's at 26.1 points per game in this postseason. So, I mean, he is just everything to this Nuggets team, and it's really great to see this star like totally blossoming and a totally unique star. Like, I was trying to remember, have we ever seen anybody like this? Like, there's some elements of Dirk Nowitzki where, you know, Dirk could take it from the high post and shoot over everybody, you know, on from the outside. But he was never the playmaker that Jokic is.
Yeah, no, I don't think we've seen a player like this. He is factually, I think, the best passing big man of all time. I think Nikola Jokic is clearly the best center in the NBA right now. I don't know if that's a hot take. I don't know if you agree with that, but
I do. Joel Embiid
would not carry this team down 3-1 in back-to-back series. I mean, he's just not that type of guy. And at a certain point, I'm done making excuses for Joel Embiid's effort, and I'm just ready to say that Nikola Jokic is the best center in the NBA, and it might not even be close right now.
I agree with you. I mean, I'm sure the Embiid apologists would have some things to say about that, but just from what he's been doing in this bubble compared to
in the playoffs,
what he's been doing in the bubble compared to what Embiid did in the bubble is just really, you're right. He's heads and tails above Embiid for me right now. Really excited to see this game 7. Let's go ahead and get into it. I will just say, I wanted to point out that first off, we have a total set at 207.5, which feels low for these teams. However, we've already had 3 game sevens in this playoff series, and all of them went under the low total set. Like Jazz Nuggets game 7, the total was set at 217.5. The actual total was 158. Thunder Rockets, the total was at 217. The actual total was 206. And Celtics Raptors, the total was set at 204. And the actual total was 179. So, you know, I know it's like a knee jerk thing to bet the under on game sevens, but that's like actual trends right there showing you.
Yeah, no, I this is so hard because I actually hadn't even looked at the total before we got on the phone, and I have in my notes have to play this under.
Yeah.
And 207 is shocking because I think game one of the series, we were talking about 219.5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is just a drastic difference, especially for, you know, the same matchup running seven games in a row. But I hate to say it, I still do kind of like that under.
Well, and here's the other number I'll give out. No game in this series has hit the over. It's 0-5-1 for the so if you bet the under every time, you're killing it in this series.
Yeah, I mean the only thing I will say is that and this series doesn't seem like it's been as emotionally exhausting as the other game sevens that we've seen. You know, I think Even speaking as someone who likes this Nuggets team, obviously that Rockets Thunder was a very like intense emotional game seven. Celtics Raptors as well.
Mm-hmm.
This one doesn't feel like it's as much of like in the fourth quarter. I'm not expecting to see tired legs here, if that makes sense. I mean, yeah. I think these teams look like they're fine, but I would still lean under. I mean, the game seven game flow has been too accurate each of the three game sevens we've seen here to, you know, see anything different, in my opinion.
I agree. And just the series as well, like the offense has not, I mean, both teams have been bringing the defense, and I think that'll continue. So I am definitely going to go with the under, even though it's a low total at 207.5. And man, I'm really going back and forth. I really want to take the Nuggets. I think I am taking the Nuggets plus 7.5. I just think even if they don't win, it's going to be close.
Yeah, I think this is tough because I do think the Clippers win this game.
Yeah.
And I hate to fall back on like, oh, they're just the better team, because we've been saying that for two games now, expecting the Clippers to get that outright win. But yeah, I think the Nuggets keep it close too, honestly. Especially if you like the Clippers, I think first quarter or first half, definitely you want to get some of your action down there, just based on you can't ignore the difference of how these teams play in the second half. So definitely I would be an advocate of splitting up some of your action there if I was taking the Clippers. But I think I'll take the Nuggets, but I will prefer to wait this out a little bit and maybe jump on the Nuggets live at a better line, because we know they won't go away.
Yeah. Okay. That's not, I mean, so that's going to be the second game on Tuesday. And the first game we're going to have is the Heat versus the Celtics, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And I was a little surprised to have the Celtics a -135 favorite on this series, Heat at +115. How does those numbers strike you?
Yeah, I think I honestly had really no idea where this one would be. I would not have been surprised to see the Celtics a 4-point favorite or equivalent in the series price. I think off first glance, I think that Boston might be a little bit better than Miami, and I don't know if that line says that.
Yeah, I mean the game one is set at Boston giving up 1.5. And I really like Miami +1.5. We know that they've been hinting at maybe Gordon Hayward coming back, but definitely does not seem like he's going to be ready for game one. And Miami Heat has had more rest. And I have a lot of numbers that our boy Munaf on the NBA Slack sent out to me. But I won't just barrage you with numbers right now. Tell me what you're thinking for game one.
Yeah, so just to clear up, Malika Andrews today reported from the bubble, Gordon Hayward went through a quote-unquote hard, small group workout,
mm-hmm.
But he's out for game one, like you said. Yeah, I mean, Miami definitely has a rest advantage. And like I said, just a super emotional game, super emotional series for the Celtics. We don't know what the status of Jaylen Brown is. He definitely got hurt a little bit on that play, which I don't know if we talked since then. I thought that was a very dirty play by Pascal Siakam, putting his hand on Jaylen's back.
Yeah,
he came down in a wet spot. He was very, very stiff the rest of that game. I wouldn't be surprised to see him limited in game one. So, you know, and Spoelstra's had more time to prepare than Brad Stevens. And these are two great coaches. I think Miami's going to come out with a great game plan. I'm curious, where do you think the matchups, you know, what matchups are you looking to see here? Because there's a lot of interesting decisions for both teams to make. Who guards Jimmy Butler? Who guards Goran? And who guards Jaylen? Who guards Jason? Who guards Kemba for the Heat?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the Toronto Raptors set a bit of a template that the Miami Heat can follow for beating Boston. And I feel like if their guards get physical with Kemba, he tends to shut down a little bit as a smaller guard. So I think I would definitely look at that matchup. Maybe Kemba can rise to the occasion here. I think he's going to need to for the Celtics to win. But I could see this being a huge Bam series from him being able to guard Tatum and Brown if needed to be.
Yeah, I mean, Bam gave the Bucks so many problems in that last series. So I think you're definitely hesitant to just say, oh, Daniel Tice has Bam, because, you know, he's definitely more than that as a player, like you just said. So I think the Celtics definitely, for them, is going small an option. I mean, I like the idea of going small with, if you get Gordon Hayward back in this series, or maybe get some Grant Williams in there, because he's shown he could help out and switch on the perimeter pretty well. But yeah, definitely looks like a big Bam series. And I agree with you. I think Kemba Walker has to be the guy, because between Crowder and Butler and Iggy, I think they're going to give Jason Tatum some problems in terms of being the number one scorer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also, as well as the Celtics bench has played, I think that Miami is just a deeper team on the bench. When you start to look at all those guys, you can get more minutes from Miami's bench. I just feel that they're a deeper team. I trust them a little more. I feel like a guy even like Kelly Olynyk is going to come in and give the Celtics problems. He's had good games against his former team. You know, Iggy is definitely going to come in and give you like 10 to 15 great minutes. So whereas I just don't kind of trust some of those younger guys on the Celtics.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think that there is potential for the Celtics to really kind of try to impose on especially on Hero and Duncan and try to take them out of the series. I don't think the Bucks really did enough of that. They kind of did some of it in game seven, although Hero went off, but we did see, you know, DiVincenzo kind of neutralized Duncan just by being really physical with him and then hunting him offensively. So, you know, what if the Celtics just kind of go into the mode where they try to get Kemba or Tatum switched onto Duncan or Hero and then just attack from there? I would try to make Miami be really worried about having those guys on the floor defensively if I was Boston. But it's going to be a phenomenal series. So you're leaning Miami for game one?
Yeah, I'm leaning Miami, taking the 1.5 points. I'm also leaning Miami for this series. You know, they've had three regular season matchups. Celtics won the first two. The Heat won the one in the bubble, and that was without Jimmy Butler, which, I mean, really seems to say the same thing. Butler has, when he, the two games he did play, averaged 28.5 points. So, I mean, who guards Butler? That's a really good question. Who guards Butler on the Celtics?
I don't know. I mean, I would probably start Jaylen on him if he's healthy. You know, I would leave Tatum off ball a little bit more, maybe try to get him on Crowder so he can rest a little bit and also play help. But Marcus Smart's definitely going to spend some time on him, which should be very, very fun and electric. I think this is going to be a really tough, gritty series between two teams who respect each other. But I doubt after about 10 minutes, they're going to like each other very much.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you that it's going to be a gritty, chippy series. The three games they played were defensive games. All three totals went under the projected totals.
Well, you know, look, the Celtics are a very good defensive team, so I don't want to undersell that. And, you know, the Heat obviously were ridiculously good in the first three games of that series against the Bucks, but I thought the Bucks kind of... The Bucks responded in that series. I mean, they were down 3-1. They took it to 3-1, and they gave them a good run in, I guess that was game five, or game six, or game five.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought the Heat offense sort of showed a little bit of crack. Definitely defensively, they were still obviously so stout. But I think the Celtics are going to have success getting stops in this series, which lends credence to your theory on the unders if we want to definitely look to get after those early in the series.
Yeah, I agree. One more note here from Munaf. He said, when Miami and Boston, against the spread, their records, when they've had more, three or more days of rest, Miami is 11-3 against the spread, whereas Boston is 7-3-1 against the spread after three or more days of rest, which goes to, again, why I'm taking the Heat in game one. I feel like I think Butler and crew are really going to come out and set the tone.
Yeah, no, this should be great. I'm taking Celtics series, and I think I'm taking. I don't really have a good feel for game one. I like the Celtics, I guess, but I'm definitely not in bet territory.
Okay, so, and you know, I have five units on Miami to win the Eastern Championship at 10-1. Should I hedge yet?
Yeah, I think I would. I gotta be honest. I said I didn't necessarily know what to expect with the line on this series, but I thought the Celtics were going to be a decently sized favorite here. But look, I personally thought I guess I didn't think the Bucks were that good. I obviously picked them in that series, but you know, I always thought all these teams were relatively similar to one another. So I think the Celtics are the best of a bunch, and I think they get this done. And so if you want to hedge, you know, I might wait till game two, considering that the Heat have this big rest advantage, and mm-hmm. and you like them to get the dub in game one, so you get a better line on Boston coming back.
Yeah. That's a good call. I'll wait till after game one. Anything more you want to say about previewing either of Tuesday's games or the Eastern Conference Finals series?
I'm just really excited for this Celtics Heat series. I think it's going to be great, like, emotional battle between Marcus Smart and Jimmy Butler. And, you know, that Celtics Raptors series was very physical and it was tough, but it was somewhat friendly, I thought, overall. There was no real big, like, Kyle Lowry. I'm hoping for some of that emotion to spill in this series. And obviously Spo and Brad Stevens, just two great franchises going at it. So hopefully this is one of those legendary type physical series.
I agree with you. All right. Well, you're on the Celtics. I'm on the Heat right now. But we're both taking the Heat to win game one, and we're both leaning towards the Nuggets plus the points, even though we think there's a very good chance that the Clippers will win. It'll be a close game. And we're both thinking the under.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, you can follow me at the Ryan McKee on Twitter. Follow Zach at NBA Zach B on Twitter. Make sure to subscribe to NBA Gambling Podcast. Please rate and review. I'm going to be this week giving away another hoodie to somebody who sends me a rating, so make sure to hit me up on Twitter via that or NBA Gambling Podcast at thesgpn.com.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it! Yeah!